Hare Krishna. This is a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, with translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Third Canto, Chapter 16, Texts 7 through 25. Text 7. The Lord continued, "Because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me, even though I have no attachment for her. While others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The relationship between the Lord and his devotee is transcendentally beautiful. As the devotee thinks that it is due to being the devotee of the Lord that he is elevated in all good qualities, so the Lord also thinks that it is because of his devotion to the servitor that all his transcendental glories have increased. In other words, as the devotee is always anxious to render service to the Lord, so the Lord is ever anxious to render service to the devotee. The Lord admits herein that although he certainly has the quality that anyone who receives a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality, this greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that not only one but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service. In the material world, simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune, people observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhakta Vatsala. Text 8. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins, who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotee of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Since a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord, he does not taste anything edible which is not first offered to him. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouths all edibles offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmin's mouth. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the Brahmins and devotees. And elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the Brahmins and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is said that he accepts offerings to the mouths of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. The best example of this is found in the life of Advaita Prabhu and his dealings with Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas was born of a Mohammedan family, Advaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of a sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Advaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to Mohammedan instead of an elevated Brahmin. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself as a Mohammedan, but Advaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmin. Advaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 Brahmins. The conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that Hare Nama, chanting of the holy name of God, and pleasing the Vaishnava, are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. Text 9. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds, along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that in the internal energy, or the spiritual world, all the opulences are undisturbed, whereas in the external, or material energy, all the opulences are temporary manifestations. The Lord's supremacy is equal in both the spiritual and material worlds. But the spiritual world is called the kingdom of God, and the material world is called the kingdom of Maya. Maya refers to that which is not actually fact. The opulence of the material world is a reflection. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that this material world is just like a tree whose roots are up and branches down. This means that the material world is the shadow of the spiritual world. Real opulence is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the predominating deity is the Lord Himself, whereas in the material world, there are many lords. That is the difference between the internal and external energies. The Lord says that although He is the predominating factor of the internal energy, and although the material world is sanctified just by the water that has washed his feet, he has the greatest respect for the Brahmin and the Vaishnav. When the Lord Himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnavs and Brahmins, how can one deny such respect to such personalities? Text 10. The Brahmins, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The defenseless creatures, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are the cows, Brahmins, women, children, and old men. Of these five, the Brahmins and the cows are especially mentioned in this verse, because the Lord is always anxious about the benefit of the Brahmins and the cows, and is prayed to in this way. Therefore, the Lord especially instructs that no one should be envious of these five, especially the cows, and Brahmins. In some of the Bhagavatam readings, the word duhitrit is used instead of duhatihi, but in either case, the meaning is the same. Duhatihi means cow, and duhitrit can also be used to mean cow, because the cow is supposed to be the daughter of the sun god. Just as children are taken care of by the parents, women as a class should be taken care of by the father, husband, or grown-up son. Those who are helpless must be taken care of by their respective guardians. Otherwise, the guardians will be subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj, who is appointed by the Lord to supervise the activities of sinful living creatures. The assistants or messengers of Yamaraj are likened here to vultures, and those who do not execute their respective duties in protecting their wards are compared to serpents. Vultures deal very seriously with serpents, and similarly, the messengers will deal very seriously with neglectful guardians. Text 11. On the other hand, they captivate my heart, who are gladdened in heart, and who, their lotus faces enlightened by nectarian smiles, respect the Brahmins, even though the Brahmins utter harsh words. They look upon the Brahmins as my own self, and pacify them by praising them in loving words, even as a son would appease an angry father, or as I am pacifying you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has been observed in many instances in the Vedic scriptures that when the Brahmins or Vaishnavas curse someone in an angry mood, the person who is cursed does not take it upon himself to treat the Brahmins or Vaishnavas in the same way. There are many examples of this. For instance, the sons of Kuvera, when cursed by the great sage Narada, did not seek revenge in the same harsh way, but submitted. Here also, when Jai and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras, they did not become harsh towards them. Rather, they submitted. That should be the way of treating Brahmins and Vaishnavas. One may sometimes be faced with a grievous situation created by a Brahmin, but instead of meeting him with a similar mood, one should try to pacify him with a smiling face and mild treatment. Brahmins and Vaishnavas should be accepted as earthly representatives of Narayan. Nowadays, some foolish persons have manufactured the term Daridya Narayan, indicating that a poor man should be accepted as the representative of Narayan. But in the Vedic literature, we do not find that poor men should be treated as representatives of Narayan. Of course, those who are unprotected are mentioned here, but the definition of this phrase is clear from the Shastras. The poor man should not be unprotected, but the Brahmin should especially be treated as a representative of Narayan, and should be worshipped like him. It is specifically said that to pacify the Brahmins, one's face should be lotus-like. A lotus-like face is exhibited when one is adorned with love and affection. In this respect, the example of the fathers being angry at the son, and the sons trying to pacify the father with smiling and sweet words, is very appropriate. Text 12. These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done unto me, if you order that, although reaping the fruit of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. From this statement, we can understand how anxious the Lord is to get his servitor back to Vaikuntha. Therefore, this incident proves that those who have once entered the Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. The case of Jai and Vijay is not a fall down. It is just an accident. The Lord is always anxious to get such devotees back again to the Vaikuntha planets as soon as possible. It is to be assumed that there is no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees. But when there are discrepancies or disruptions between one devotee and another, one has to suffer the consequences, although that suffering is temporary. The Lord is so kind to his devotees that he took all the responsibility for the doorman's offense and requested the sages to give them facilities to return to Vaikuntha as soon as possible. Texts 13 and 14. Brahma continued. Even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated with hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide-opened ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches, for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide-opened ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord, but although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Supreme Lord wanted to do. Nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. Text 15. The four Brahmin sages were nevertheless extremely delighted to behold him, and they experienced a thrill throughout their bodies. They then spoke as follows to the Lord, who had revealed the multi-glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his internal potency, Yogamaya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sages were almost too puzzled to speak before the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the first time, and the hairs of their bodies stood erect due to extreme joy. The highest opulence in the material world is called Paramesthya, the opulence of Brahma. But that material opulence of Brahma, who lives on the topmost planet within this material world, cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Because the transcendental opulence in the spiritual world is caused by Yogamaya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by Mahamaya. Text 16. The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. For even though you are the supreme ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sages could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone, was speaking as if he were in the wrong. Therefore, it was difficult for them to understand the words of the Lord. They could understand, however, that the Lord was speaking in such a humble way to show them his all-merciful favor. Text 17. O Lord, you are the supreme director of the Brahminical culture. Your considering the Brahmins to be in the highest position is your example for teaching others. Actually, you are the supreme worshipable deity, not only for the gods, but for the Brahmins also. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. There are undoubtedly many demigods, the chief of whom are Brahma and Shiva. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva, not to speak of the Brahmins in this material world. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord is very favorable toward all activities performed according to Brahminical culture, or the qualities of control of the senses and mind, cleanliness, forbearance, faith in scripture, and practical and theoretical knowledge. The Lord is the supersoul of everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord is the source of all emanations. Thus, he is also the source of Brahma and Shiva. Text 18. You are the source of the eternal occupation of all living entities, and by your multi-manifestations of personalities of Godhead, you have always protected religion. You are the supreme objective of religious principles, and in our opinion, you are inexhaustible and unchangeable, eternally. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement in this verse, Dharmasya paramo guhya, refers to the most confidential part of all religious principles. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Lord Krishna in his advice to Arjuna is, give up all other religious engagement and just surrender unto me. This is the most confidential knowledge in executing religious principles. In the Bhagavatam also, it is stated that if one does not become Krishna conscious after rigidly executing one's specified religious duties, all his labor in following so-called religious principles is simply a waste of time. Here also the sages confirm the same statement, that the Supreme Lord, not the demigods, is the ultimate goal of all religious principles. There are many foolish propagandists who say that worship of the demigods is also a way to reach the supreme goal. But in the authorized statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, this is not accepted. Bhagavad Gita says that one who worships a particular demigod can reach that demigod's planet, but one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead can enter into Vaikuntha. Some propagandists say that regardless of what one does, he will ultimately reach the supreme abode of the Personality of Godhead. But this is not valid. The Lord is eternal, the Lord's servitor is eternal, and the Lord's abode is also eternal. They are all described here as sanatana, or eternal. The result of devotional service, therefore, is not temporary, as is the achievement of heavenly planets by worshiping the demigods. The sages wanted to stress that although the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, says that he worships the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, actually the Lord is worshipable, not only by the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, but also by the demigods. Text 19. Mystics and transcendentalists, by the mercy of the Lord, cross beyond nescience by ceasing all material desires. It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unless one is favored by the Supreme Lord, one cannot cross over the ocean of nescience of repeated birth and death. Here it is stated that yogis, or mystics, cross beyond nescience by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many kinds of mystics, such as the karma yogi, gyan yogi, dhyan yogi, and bhakti yogi. The karmis particularly search after the favor of the demigods. The jnanis want to become one with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the yogis are satisfied simply by partial vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, and ultimately by oneness with Him. But the bhaktas, the devotees, want to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally and serve Him. It has already been admitted that the Lord is eternal, and those who want the favor of the Supreme Lord perpetually are also eternal. Therefore, yogis here means devotees. By the mercy of the Lord, devotees can easily pass beyond the nescience of birth and death and attain the eternal abode of the Lord. The Lord is therefore not in need of another's favor, because no one is equal to or greater than Him. Actually, everyone needs the favor of the Lord for successful understanding of his human mission. Text 20. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, the dust of whose feet is worn on the head by others, waits upon you as appointed, for she is anxious to secure a place in the abode of the king of bees, who hovers on the fresh wreath of tulsi leaves offered at your feet by some blessed devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As previously described, tulsi has attained all superior qualities due to being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord. The comparison made here is very nice. As the king of bees hovers over the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, so Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who is sought after by the demigods, Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and everyone else, also engages in rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. The conclusion is that no one can be the benefactor of the Lord. Everyone is actually the servant of the servant of the Lord. Text 21. O Lord, you are exceedingly attached to the activities of your pure devotees, yet you are never attached to the goddess of fortune who constantly engages in your transcendental loving service. How can you be purified, therefore, by the dust of the path traversed by the Brahmins? And how can you be glorified or made fortunate by the marks of Srivats on your chest? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that the Lord is always served by many hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune in his Vaikuntha planet. Yet, because of his attitude of renunciation of all opulences, he is not attached to any one of them. The Lord has 6 opulences: unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited renunciation. All the demigods and other living entities worship Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, just to get her favor. Yet the Lord is never attached to her, because he can create an unlimited number of such goddesses for his transcendental service. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is sometimes envious of the tulsi leaves which are placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, for they remain fixed there and do not move. Whereas Lakshmiji, although stationed by the chest of the Lord, sometimes has to please other devotees who pray for her favor. Lakshmi sometimes has to go to satisfy her numerous devotees. But tulsi leaves never forsake their position, and the Lord therefore appreciates the service of the tulsi more than the service of Lakshmi. So when the Lord says that it is due to the causeless mercy of the Brahmins that Lakshmi does not leave him, we can understand that Lakshmi is attracted by the opulence of the Lord, not by the Brahmin's benedictions upon him. The Lord is not dependent on anyone's mercy for his opulences. He is always self-sufficient. The Lord's statement that his opulence is due to the benedictions of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas is only to teach others that they should offer respect to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Text 22. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion. Therefore you manifest yourself in 3 millenniums, and thus you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings. By your grace, which is of pure goodness and is the bestower of all blessings, kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas for the sake of the demigods and twice-born. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is addressed in this verse as Tri Yuga, or one who appears in 3 millenniums, namely Satya, Dwarpa, and Treta Yugas. He is not mentioned as appearing in the 4th millennium, or Kali Yuga. It is described in the Vedic literature that in Kali Yuga he comes as Chana Avatar, or an incarnation, but he does not appear as a manifest incarnation. In the other yugas, however, the Lord is a manifest incarnation, and therefore he is addressed as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in 3 yugas. Sridhar Swami describes Tri Yuga as follows. Yuga means couple, and Tri means 3. The Lord is manifested as 3 couples by his 6 opulences, or 3 couples of opulences. In that way, he can be addressed as Tri Yuga. The Lord is the personality of religious principles. In 3 millenniums, religious principles are protected by 3 kinds of spiritual culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. The Lord is also called Tri Yuga in that way also. In the age of Kali, these 3 requisites to spiritual culture are almost absent. But the Lord is so kind that in spite of Kali Yuga's being devoid of these 3 spiritual qualities, he comes and protects the people of this age in his covered incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya is called covered because, although he is Krishna himself, he presents himself as a devotee of Krishna, not directly Krishna. The devotees pray to Lord Chaitanya, therefore, to eliminate their stock of passion and ignorance, the most conspicuous assets of this yuga. In the Krishna consciousness movement, one cleanses himself of the modes of passion and ignorance by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, as introduced by Lord Chaitanya. The four Kumaras were cognizant of their situation in the modes of passion and ignorance, because, although in Vaikuntha, they wanted to curse devotees of the Lord. Since they were conscious of their own weakness, they prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. The three transcendental qualifications, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, are the qualifications of the twice-born and the demigods. Those who are not situated in the quality of goodness cannot accept these principles of spiritual culture. For the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, there are three sinful activities which are prohibited: illicit sex, intoxication, and eating anything other than prasad, food offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. Devotees are merciful because they spare the poor animals, and they are clean because they are free of the contamination of unwanted foodstuff and unwanted habits. Austerity is represented by restricted sex life. These principles, indicated by the prayers of the four Kumaras, should be followed by the devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Text 23. O Lord, you are the protector of the highest of the twice-born. If you do not protect them by offering worship and mild words, then certainly the auspicious path of worship will be rejected by the people in general, who act on the strength and authority of your lordship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated by the Lord himself that acts and character of great authorities are followed by the people in general. Leaders of ideal character are therefore needed in society. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in this material world just to show the example of perfect authority, and people have to follow his path. The Vedic injunction is that one cannot understand the absolute truth simply by mental speculation or logical argument. One has to follow the authorities. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Great authorities should be followed. Otherwise, if we simply depend on the scriptures, we are sometimes misled by rascals, or else we cannot understand or follow the different spiritual injunctions. The best path is to follow the authorities. The four Brahmin sages stated that Krishna is naturally the protector of the cows and the Brahmins. Go Brahmana Hitayacha. When Krishna was on this planet, he set a practical example. He was a cowherd boy, and he was very respectful to Brahmins and devotees. It is also affirmed herein that the Brahmins are the best of the twice-born. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are all twice-born, but the Brahmins are the best. When there is a fight between two persons, each of them protects the upper part of the body, the head, the arms, and the belly. Similarly, for actual advancement of human civilization, the best part of the social body, namely the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, the intelligent class of men, the military class, and the mercantile men should be given special protection. Protection of the laborers should not be neglected, but special protection should be given to the upper orders. Of all classes of men, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas should be given special protection. They should be worshipped. When their protection is performed, it is just like worshipping God. That is not exactly protection. It is a duty. One should worship the Brahmins and Vaishnavas by offering them all kinds of endowments and sweet words. And if one has no means to offer anything, he must, at least, use sweet words to pacify them. The Lord personally exhibited this behavior toward the Kumaras. If this system is not introduced by the leaders, then human civilization will be lost. When there is no protection and special treatment for persons who are devotees of the Lord, who are highly intelligent in spiritual life, then the whole society is lost. The word nankshati indicates that such a civilization becomes spoiled and is annihilated. The kind of civilization recommended is called Devapata, which means the royal road of the demigods. Demigods are supposed to be fully fixed in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. That is the auspicious path that should be protected. If the authorities or leaders of society do not give special respect to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and do not offer them not only sweet words, but all facilities, then the path of progress will be lost to human civilization. The Lord personally wanted to teach this, and therefore he offered so much praise to the Kumaras. Text 24. Dear Lord, you never want the auspicious path to be destroyed, for you are the reservoir of all goodness. Just to benefit people in general, you destroy the evil element by your mighty potency. You are the proprietor of the three creations and the maintainer of the entire universe. Therefore, your potency is not reduced by your submissive behavior. Rather, by submission, you exhibit your transcendental pastimes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna was never reduced in his position by becoming a cowherd boy or by offering respect to Sudam Brahman or his other devotees like Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev, Maharaj Yudhisthira, and the Pandava's mother, Kunti. Everyone knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, yet his behavior was exemplary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. His form is completely spiritual, full of bliss and knowledge, and it is eternal. Because the living entities are his parts and parcels, originally they also belong to the same quality of eternal form as the Lord. But when they come in contact with Maya, the material potency, due to their forgetfulness, their existential constitution is covered. We should try to understand the appearance of Lord Krishna in this spirit, as the Kumaras pray to him. He is eternally a cowherd boy at Vrindavan. He is eternally the leader of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And he is eternally the opulent prince of Dwarka and the lover of the damsels of Vrindavan. All his appearances are meaningful, because they show his real characteristics to the conditioned souls, who have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord. He does everything for their benefit. The force exhibited in the Battle of Kurukshetra by the desire of Krishna and through the agency of Arjuna was also necessary, because when people become too irreligious, force is required. Nonviolence in this respect is rascaldom. Text 25. O Lord, whatever punishment you wish to award these two innocent persons, or also to us, we shall accept without duplicity. We understand that we have cursed two faultless persons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sages, the four Kumaras, now reject their cursing the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, because they are now conscious that persons who engage in the service of the Lord cannot be at fault at any stage. It is said that anyone who has implicit faith in the service of the Lord, or who actually engages in transcendental loving service, has all the good qualities of the demigods. Therefore, a devotee cannot be at fault. If sometimes it is found that he is in error by accident or by some temporary arrangement, that should not be taken very seriously. The cursing of Jai and Vijay is here repented. Now the Kumaras are thinking in terms of their position in the modes of passion and ignorance, and they are prepared to accept any kind of punishment from the Lord. In general, when dealing with devotees, we should not try to find faults. In Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the devotee who faithfully serves the Supreme Lord, even if found to commit a gross mistake, should be considered a sadhu, or a saintly person. Due to former habits, he may commit some wrong, but because he is engaged in the service of the Lord, that wrong should not be taken very seriously.